You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Will Clark from Grey History, The French Revolution. Katie and Nathan asked me to let you know that there are curse words on this show. So if that's not your thing, please stop now. But since you like the history of monarchs, why not check out Grey History, The French Revolution? History isn't black and white, and so we're exploring all the ambiguities and nuances of one of the most important eras of human history. Come hear a story of revolution, of scandal, of betrayal, of the bloody demise of kings, queens, and revolutionaries. From the Reign of Terror to the foundations of the modern world, there's plenty to sink your teeth into. Search for Grey History, The French Revolution today. That's G-R-E-Y, or just search for The French Revolution. And now, back to Katie and Nathan. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Katie.
And this is Nathan.
And you're listening to Queen's Podcast, the show about women in history. Well, hello, Nathan.
Hi.
Nathan, who are we here to continue a story about today?
Oh, yes. It is part two of Kosem Sultan, a.k.a.
Yes, Mayor.
Valide Sultan, a.k.a. Queen Mother of the Ottoman Empire. No big deal.
Yeah, 100% that bitch is who this woman is. Absolutely. So, Nathan, go ahead and tell us where we left off.
Yeah, she's having a bit of a succession crisis. So Her sultan's son, Murad IV, on his deathbed at the ripe old age of 27.
And, ye old times.
Yeah, ye old times, where they drank a whole lot and they didn't know that this was bad.
They didn't know they needed to rehydrate, and every little thing around could kill you, and it very often did.
Now every time that I get a massive anxiety, I'm going to sing that song in my head.
Every little thing around can kill you. Why is everybody so mad at me? Yes, that's my anxiety song.
So, Kosem's youngest son, Ibrahim, who she wanted to take the throne, was a little bit special.
Bless his heart. Bless his
yeah.
heart. We'll get into all the circumstances that have gone into making Ibrahim who he was. But even if he had been like a normal childhood, he probably had some kind of chemical imbalance or something.
Oh,
it's impossible
for
us to diagnose people 500 years later. But he was never the picture of mental health. Would you say that's fair to say?
Yes, it's fair to say that his entire family noticed something was wrong since he was a kid.
Right.
So this is something that's, it's not, he wasn't called mad because somebody wanted him out of power. He was called mad even by his own family.
Well, let's talk about the family that he grew up in that probably contributed to his already not picture perfect state of mental health. He grew up constantly fearing that he's about to get murdered, and for good cause, because statistically, he was probably about to get murdered.
Yeah.
Many times.
Yeah. So it's like, really, you're putting the fear of death and being assassinated on top of another mental illness of bad news.
Yeah. Yeah, just to do a little recap from episode one, all throughout history, basically the Sultan of the Ottoman Empire always had his brothers killed so that he didn't have anybody trying to overthrow him for power, since their succession customs were different than what we've talked about before. Just two generations prior, Ibrahim's grandfather had 19 of his half-brothers killed with a method that they called the silk rope, which is just strangling them with a nice rope. Yeah, 19. insane. All pretty much in the same day, too.
Oh my gosh, that's just like a massacre, essentially, in one day. But now the custom was a little more chill, and Ibrahim had he had instead been allowed to live, but he grew up in basically house arrest, in a place that they literally called the cage. So
the coffer.
The coffer. So not exactly conducive to a mentally stable health headspace for someone who's got those issues, but...
Better help.
Yeah. Yes.
If you grew up in the cage and you need someone to talk to, better help. Anyway. He's grown up in solitary confinement, basically. Always nervous that he could wake up and somebody's there with a rope to kill him.
Yeah, not great.
So this is the new Sultan.
And so when Murad died, Qasem goes to tell her one remaining son, poor baby Ibrahim. And she's like, okay, Ibrahim, guess what? You're Sultan now.
Yay.
And then Ibrahim lost his shit. He literally thought his brother Murad was testing him, like a loyalty test, to see if he was going to turn on him so that he would get assassinated. And in his mind, he's going to be on the other side of that silk rope if he doesn't respond the right way.
Right. So Qasem, who, let's put ourselves in her shoes right now. Her and Murad, her son that just passed, had a bit of a tricky relationship at this point anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So she's, but it's still her son. So she's probably grieving his loss and then going to tell her other son, this is what's happening, and him just having an absolute mental breakdown. This must have been trying.
Oh, for she's got to be breaking down.
Yeah, but so she has to bring Murad's body to Ibrahim to prove.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I just feel a little bad for her in that, having to be like, okay, well, bring my son's corpse here so my other son calms down. Like,
yeah.
It's just
Ibrahim luckily finally accepts
once he sees the dead body.
He's like, okay, this is my brother, I will be Sultan now.
So now Qasem's youngest son is Sultan. He was 25. He shouldn't have needed a regent at this point, but everyone knew that he wasn't mentally capable of running the entire empire. So once again, Qasem gets to step up and become regent, aka Valide Sultan, again. And so she is now the most powerful woman in the Ottoman Empire once again, which I think she was like, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, consolation prize.
Yeah. So this is her fourth decade of political involvement. And she's done pretending like she's not the most powerful person in the room anymore. She's like, okay, I have been around the block several times, back again, went to the grocery store, the gas station, and picked up the kids. You're welcome. And Ibrahim is more than happy to let her run it, because he knows that he can't handle all of it, because he's just getting used to navigating the world as not a political prisoner.
Outside of the cage. Yes. Ibrahim's transition into the world of Sultan wasn't an easy one, which was the least surprising thing I'll say all day. And mom's running everything, though, but he has one job: to keep their line going. Since he doesn't have any brothers, there's not a whole lot of other people. He needs to have an heir. But, he's impotent.
Rut row. He can't get it up. But don't worry, folks. He's not going to go down in history known as Ibrahim the Impotent. No. It's quite the opposite. Actually, it's Ibrahim the Mad. Qasem takes matters into her own hands, if you will.
Without any additional context, it sounds like she tried to give an HJ to her son. No.
At face value, that does sound that way.
Takes matter into her own hands. Let's reword this.
So she hires a sorcerer, and that's in air quotes, to cure his impotence. So this is all in air quotes, because this is no woo-woo involved. They basically showed him porn and gave him aphrodisiacs. So,
hey,
can't get a boner? Let's show you some titties about it. Here you go.
And he was like, oh,
Yeah.
That works.
real fucking inventive there, guys.
What was the sorcerer's name?
Sinchihaka. So let's put a pin in Sinchihaka. Yeah, put a pin in that because he'll come back later. The sex sorcerer.
The sex sorcerer. Yes. So Ibrahim becomes obsessed with dim titties,
mm-hmm.
with bumping butts. He basically lives at the harem 24/7. And Kosum is just like, good for you, sweetie. You're doing great, sweetie. She's bringing in concubines from all over, getting him the most beautiful women. You know, because when he's there fucking, he can't be fucking up the government. And he had a type. He liked thick girls, which, love it. I love inclusivity. She's like, great. We'll get you some curvy ladies up in here. You just stay here and make some heirs. Make some sons.
Yeah, that's all you literally gotta do. So if you're boning in the harem all day long, guess what you aren't doing? Governing. Yeah, that's it. Yes. You're not governing. Yeah, all that was left to Kosem. And this pesky Grand Vizier, Mustafa Pasha.
If you need a reminder, the Grand Vizier, it's like a prime minister, to simplify it. Grand Vizier Mustafa Pasha had been the Grand Vizier for about 2 years. And at this point, he wasn't really interested in letting Kosem take the wheel. He was like,
Yeah, and the two did not get along. So the Grand Vizier tried to push Kosem down.
The Grand Vizier.
Yeah, the Grand Bra. I mean, if you're looking for a good sports bra, you want to push down a little bit so that you know. But Kosem is wanting to air them titties out. Like, she doesn't want the restrictions that this bra is trying to push down on her.
She's looking for a bralette.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Maybe just like a shelf tank or something like mm-hmm, that. Okay. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. I got it. So Mustafa Pasha, which is just fun to say.
Yeah, it is.
Mustafa Pasha. He passes some financial reforms, and they did not go over well with everyone. It was a really bad move, and it cost the country some money. Ka-ching, ka-ching. Mm-hmm. And Kosem was like, see, he's a horrible leader. Like, I feel like she let him fail.
Yes.
For a minute at the cost of the empire to get rid of him so people would get their confidence in her again. That's how I felt too.
No factious vibes.
No factious vibes.
But the vibes worked because people listened.
Yeah.
So there was literally a revolt against him, but the revolts didn't really revolt all that well. And Kosem needed another plan. So she turned to her old friend, Sinchihaka, the sorcerer of porn.
Sorcerer of porn! That is just the cool, like, I love that. The sorcerer of porn and Kosem go up to Ibrahim, and they convince him, let's burn that bra.
Let's burn him up. Let's go.
Let's toss it right up. I'm sure the conversation was something like, hey, remember all those thick girls and titties that we showed you? And Ibrahim's like, yeah, those titties were great. And so Kosem's like, cool, can we like do a little tit for tat?
I see what you did there.
Can we get a little favor in return for all them titties we brought you?
And Ibrahim was like, yeah, whatever. And so they burned the Grand Bra in 1844. Okay, not really. He just had the Grand Vizier, Mustafa Pasha, executed. Yeah,
not burnt. I think just in a normal way.
Yeah, just strangle him again, which kind of seems like happens to a lot of these Grand Braziers. So if you're looking for a job with a good retirement plan, it is definitely not going to be. No, you don't get tenure in that position.
Don't get tenure. That is a lot going on. So I want to go ahead and take a quick break, top off my drink, and then we're going to come back and see what Kosem does now that she's burned the bra.
Thank you.
And we're back.
We're back.
So we talked a little bit about Janissaries in the past episode. Remember, we made the Friends reference to Janice. Yeah.
Janice. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. They're the military class. So the Ottoman Empire had a really modern empire and a really modern army. They paid them salaries. They paid them pensions when they retired. And it was a pretty big class of people.
Yeah, and Kosem started putting more money into their accounts until, unfortunately, she ran out of money. So Kosem is like, okay, you know what? If I could open up some more money for the Janissaries, if we're in war, they can get more work, they can get more money, and they'll continue to love me forever, because a big part of her power is that the Janissaries just thought she was 100% that chick, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you know us, we don't like to spend too much time discussing war, but during this time, the Ottoman Empire had been in an on-again, off-again relationship with, or not relationship.
A situationship.
A situationship with Venice. And right now, the Venetians are at war with Crete. So Kosem is like, hey, if we come fight on your side, will you pay us?
Kosem convinces Ibrahim that this is a great idea. And he's like, does it affect me bumping butts? And she's like, no. And he's like, okay, whatever you want to do, that's fine. And bada bing, bada boom, and now we're at war. Okay, we don't love. Like, it kind of seems like they didn't need to be going to war.
Yeah, no one really likes this at all. They're like, yeah. Why? We don't have any money.
It was a bit of a dumpster fire, and it was a situation they did not need to be involved in.
Yeah, aka they lose. They lose. So yeah. The relationship between Kosem Sultan and her son Ibrahim becomes little strained.
Sure.
He's losing his trust in his mother's decisions, and so he starts relying more on dim titties. Literally, kind of a sex addict turning to his concubines for political advice. Oh, so in return, he is giving them everything. He is wasting so much money. Like, the empire's already had a cash flow problem. Why the hell are you giving away land and palaces and all of this stuff to all these women that people are hungry?
I even read one story that he was so obsessed with everybody having fur coats, like all everyone in his harem having fur coats, that he even had the cats shaved down and had little fur coats made for them.
What the hell?
Which it's like, dude, that was their fur coat.
Yeah, they had a built-in.
They already had one of those.
Why did you do this?
What a waste of money. So we're not going to go into, I think a little bit later, we're going to touch on it a little bit.
Yeah.
But there's some really, really fucked up shit that Ibrahim was into in the bedroom. And we're not going to go into all of that. It's really upsetting.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with Kosem because it has nothing.
But it's going to kind of set the scene as to why we need to get rid of him eventually. Ibrahim did like to abuse some of his concubines, and he really liked his concubines to not give consent. If you know what I'm getting at. Yes, it's icky. Icky, icky.
Which we are not here to kink shame, but it also seems like sometimes there was real, actual violence going on there.
I hate it.
I hate it here too.
I hate it. Also, we mentioned Ibrahim liked thick girls, which again, we love that inclusivity, but it became like an obsessive kink. There's just no way for us to really talk about it and some of the things he did to and to find these thick girls without it becoming like this weird demeaning objectification.
Like, yeah.
Guy was problematic.
Ibrahim did have a favorite concubine that he was spending most of his time with. He had his one main bitch, and her name was Sivikar. She was known to have a little more thickums than the rest. So the Sultan gave her the name of Sivikar, and it meant flirty.
I've also heard it meant sugar cube.
Oh.
Because she liked sweets, and she, yeah, and my cousin Kelsey's dog's name is Sugar Cube, so it made me laugh out loud when I read that, though.
But she was allegedly a little less than flirty with the other concubines. She got a little man jealousy mean issue. Streak. Yeah.
Yes, she had a mean streak. She might have started a rumor that ended with concubines getting killed in mass, which is not a good look. Some people say this is true. Some people say that isn't. But even if what we're about to say isn't true, the fact that this is the reputation that Ibrahim had means I think he really ill-treated a lot of his women. Yes. So Tivikar convinces Ibrahim that one of his concubines or some of his concubines are sleeping around. And so he lost his shit. He starts torturing concubines to figure out who done it. And the story goes is that he threw 280 women into burlap sacks and had them thrown into the river, and all but one died.
280?
That is so fucked up.
Yeah, and even if the story isn't true, the fact that that is going around and people are believing it, that's another story. And Kosem lost her shit for a couple of reasons. One, this is a bad look, even if it's not true. Like, Ibrahim already has this erratic, crazy story, murdering people in the harem, isn't really going to instill confidence in your leadership skills.
Yeah, exactly.
And then secondly, as the mother-in-law of the Sultan, one of her jobs is to manage the harem. Like, yes, that means keeping everyone in line, that also means keeping them alive.
Protecting like, them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
A sultan had never tried to murder all of his concubines like this before. So this
was... She was not prepared.
Yeah, she was totally not prepared. She didn't realize, like, what was I supposed to do? I had no idea that this was going to happen.
How could I keep them safe from that when that's not, like, the done thing? Yes. And lastly, it comes down to the money, honey.
Yeah, it does. It does.
She had spent all this money keeping him happy, filling the harem up to the brim with all these ladies, and now you're just gonna kill them all?
Oh, hell no.
Are you expecting are you expecting me to restock the harem?
No.
Like, what the fuck? So she's like, we gotta devise a plan.
Yeah.
We gotta figure out a plan B here, because obviously this is not working.
So there's a couple of ways they say that this shit went down. So the rumor at the time was Kosem invited Tivikar to dinner and just straight up strangled her right there, then and there.
Oh, welcome to dinner. What's on the table? The silk rope. I don't know how they would have executed. They may have just stab her because she wasn't actually... Because I think the silk rope was for people that were, like, the blood
nobility
of the Sultan.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Some other people just say that she was poisoned. And Kosem, then after she finds her dead, goes and she's like, OMG, she just died suddenly. She got really sick and just
killed over.
Uh-oh. Sorry, Ibrahim.
Don't research it any... Like, don't look into it any further.
Yeah.
It's olden times. Another story is just that Kosem just had Tivikar exiled.
Yeah.
It was like, get the fuck out of Constantinople, send her to Egypt or Greece or something. Either way, what you need to know is Tivikar is out of the picture now.
Yeah. Some people say, like, this isn't true, none of this is true. They also think that Tivikar just died of natural causes because she was severely overweight, and maybe that, like...
They didn't understand cholesterol and diabetes and stuff back then, so...
Yeah, and if Kosem did it, I think it was more of a, oh my gosh, this concubine has so much power over my son that she had half of the harem killed. What else is she gonna do? Like, so even if she was guilty, you kind of have to see it from that perspective of like, oh my gosh, this girl just killed everyone in the harem.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was out of just, I don't think it was like a situation where she was jealous of Tivikar or anything. I think it had a lot more to do with, hey, you and my son might be a little bit of a toxic combination.
Don't you know that you're toxic?
Yeah, the girl had to go.
Yeah. So trigger warning for sexual violence. That's not something you're in a headspace for. Just hit that fast forward for like 30 seconds. Ibrahim tried to grape one of his concubines. And this may have been going on for a while. But I think just given everything else that happens when it gets back to Kosum, she is just like, I have to fucking do something about this shit. I can't. No one's going to want to send people to the harem anymore. You know? And so she flips out. She loses her shit, which good.
Good on her. Yeah, like the concubine literally threatens to stab him with a knife.
And then I'd do the same.
Yeah, right? Good for her. And then Kosum hears all about this and freaks the fuck out. So she runs to Ibrahim and she starts scolding the fuck out. Like, if you thought when your mom has yelled at you before for doing something wrong, take times 10.
Like, it wasn't rape, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope.
Yeah. God, no. So she frees the woman from the harem and lets her leave, which, thank you at least for that.
Right. Despite this, everyone in the harem is starting to not trust Kosum because she's not protecting these girls like she's supposed to.
Yep.
One. And there were rumors flying around about, like, how she had Sivakar killed. So it's like, well, we're all nervous to get close to your son because you're going to have us killed. And they start, I don't know who's left if he just killed 280 of them and Sivakar is gone. The remaining harem starts, like, telling Ibrahim, like, we're not sure that your mother's trustworthy. And, you know, she got pushed out and she had to move out of Constantinople.
And then she starts getting wind that her son is treating her sisters and her nieces like complete shit. Like, these are your sisters. You don't force them to work as maids to your concubines.
Yeah. Like, or we're like making his sister be concubines in other harems and stuff like that. And it's just like, it's giving Caligula.
It's giving very Caligula vibes.
Yeah.
Very. Yeah. Like, he literally is giving all of their land and jewels to the concubines. Everyone's like, what are you doing?
Dude, what the fuck? Yes. I wonder, because when Caligula did that shit and put his sisters, you know, to sex work, basically, there was always rumors that Caligula was sleeping with them. And I didn't see rumors that Ibrahim
either, but I would not put it past him to try and treat them like that, because he was
for his sister's sake, I hope they were all skinny bitches.
Ugh, please.
For the sister's sake. Yeah. Ugh. Poor. It wasn't the done thing. So, yeah, everybody in the country would have been like, what the fuck is this dude doing?
Yeah, and Kosum is done. She's like, okay, my girls can't have their jewels and dripping jewels elegans anymore. Okay, bye, Ibrahim.
No, sir.
She is fed up with her crazy son messing everything up. She's done with all of this stuff. Like, oh my gosh, my son is a failure.
And he's unstable also. And so Kosum is like, all right, let's go back and look at our brassieres.
It's time. Oh, so we need a new brassiere.
We need a new brassiere. And so we got to get a new one. The new grand vizier's name was Sila Pasha. And he was more than happy to play ball with Kosum. He recognized that she was a smart lady. She'd been doing this job for a long time. And so he is like, look, Kosum, you and I gotta, let's team up. We need to do a coup. Let's get Ibrahim the fuck out of here.
It's a coup, y'all.
It's a coup, y'all.
So Alopecia. No. Sila Pasha is like, hey, we heard your son might be less than sane, and everybody kind of thinks he's got to go. And she knows it, right? Like, she knows.
She knows they're right, but the biggest constant about Kosem has been keep my sons alive. Mm-hmm. And if he gets deposed, his life is in danger. Mm-hmm. And so she was just like, I can't do it, y'all. I can't. I'm his mom. And so instead, she suggests, she's like, why don't we just let the Grand Vizier be Ibrahim's, like, guardian, be his regent, and that way we can all play ball together.
Yeah, and Ibrahim found out, obviously, he was not happy about it. Pissed. He thought Kosem was part of this whole coup, which kind of was. Like, they came to her, but she was not for it. Like, she wasn't going to do it. So he ends up exiling her to Floria, which is just still in Istanbul and Constantinople. And it's Istanbul, and Istanbul now it's Constantinople.
And Constantinople. Yes.
But she's completely exiled from court. She's out.
Okay, y'all. This is a problem. Because Nathan, who has been keeping Ibrahim in line?
Kosem.
As much as she could, yes. Who has been dealing with the military and the government?
Kosem.
Uh-huh. Who has been shielding Ibrahim's shortcomings from the general public?
Fucking Kosem.
Yes! So sending her away is not in anyone's best interest, my man. But Ibrahim's just like, I don't need mommy anymore.
Yeah. And
narrator voice. He did.
Yeah, because it was a complete shit show. The Janissaries have had it. So it's time for a coup, y'all. It's ready to go. Like, Ibrahim loses it, calls up Kosem, and is like, Mommy, they're coming after me. Please save me. And Kosem's like, okay, say less. Ugh, I guess I'll go back. So she runs back to the harem and starts negotiating.
And I'd like to note that she dressed for the occasion, which I personally love a good occasion for an outfit situation. So she was like, we got to make a statement with this outfit. And so she is draped in all black silk and had someone fanning her the whole time, which is just baller iconic.
Yes. I'm just living for this.
Yes.
And the visors and clergy tell her that her son's, like, batshit crazy, and they want to replace him with his oldest son, who's 7.
Ibrahim almost had killed before. Ibrahim had thrown, when his son was, like, a newborn, Ibrahim threw this son into a pool and told everybody, like, don't save him. But when he turned his back, luckily
Someone saved him, please.
Some house servant jumped in and saved him because they were like, ugh. Like,
yeah, so they're like, they all come to her and they're like, hey, we're going to replace this dude and we're replacing Ibrahim. It's over. And then she immediately claps back and is like, okay, this is all y'all's fault. Everybody here, y'all all should be removed. Okay, bitch. Bye.
Well, we got a quote in here. She says, all of this is the doing of some wicked ministers. And, I mean, who in this situation is more wicked, though, in my opinion.
That's the problem. And she cannot not stand behind her sons. Like, she has to.
Yes. The Vizors are like, girl, open your eyes.
Yeah.
Please join us in reality for a minute. He's running the empire to the ground. He's paranoid. When people are in power and they're paranoid, people get drowned in bags and mass. You know, like, it's not good. We know you love your son. We all know it. We all know this is not your plan A, but we really need you to join us in reality for a second.
Kosem obviously has to relate to this. Right. Her son just had her exiled, and I'm sure she's thinking, what could be next? If I'm just exiled, he could kill me next. So she literally says back, is it possible to place a child of 7 upon the throne?
And they're all like, well, bitch, let's try.
Yeah, they're better than a psychopath. Let's do it.
They're all going at it, literally fighting for hours. Like, she's in a room with these government dudes, the visors and whatnot. And basically they tell her that she can either surrender the prince, the 7-year-old, her 7-year-old grandson, or they're going to go take him. They're like, we've decided this is the next sultan. Hand him over peacefully, or it's going to be trauma for this kid, and we're going to go take them. And she flies into a fit of rage. She goes to find her grandson. She gets him all dressed up for, like, a coronation, which I just imagine she's probably, like, crying the whole time. Yeah. Just being like, generational drama. Like. And she hands him over, her little baby grandson, to the visors and says, is this what you wanted? Here, see what you can do with him.
Oh, that is a direct quote, ladies and gentlemen.
See what you can do about him. What do we think her mental state is right now?
Oh.
Not great.
So, yeah, not great, because she's not happy with the decision, obviously. But there are letters she wrote not soon after that completely contradicted this. She admitted to someone that Ibrahim would have had both of them killed, the Grand Vizier and her, killed. So she was, like, even admitting, like, this would have led the country in ruins. The country wouldn't have been run correctly. So maybe all of this wasn't such a bad thing. So,
yeah,
like, it's one of those things that she didn't want it to happen, but once it happened, she was like, okay, it did need to happen.
Okay, now I can see. Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't, he got to live. On August 8th, 1648, Ibrahim was dethroned and replaced by his 7-year-old son, Mehmed IV. And as we've said before, babies don't need jobs.
I think that's a good place to stop for an ad break.
Take a quick break and we will be right back. And we are back. So, Nathan, if you thought having a child king would create less drama, like, do you think that's the way this story is going to go, having a child king over a murderous, unhinged man?
I don't know where you've been, Katie, but I don't think baby kings can do anything, because babies don't need jobs.
Babies don't need jobs. Yeah. And Ibrahim, unsurprisingly, not super into being deposed. So these two factions are butting heads. And the Grand Visors, they want Ibrahim dead.
Yeah, there's a whole rabbit hole there if you want to go down that rabbit hole. But we're going to focus more on Qasem.
Okay.
Because Qasem is, like, stuck in the middle with you. On one hand, she probably knows that Ibrahim is a horrible liability and could very well kill her and everyone else. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, there's a baby sultan and a bunch of really pissed off bros. Like, these bros want to get her done.
Yeah.
Done. It's a lose-lose situation for her, because all the men in power are against her, and her son is also crazy and could kill her.
It's a lose-lose situation. Yeah, it sucks. Oh, like, no, so these are her two situations. Does she stand up and save her unpopular sex-addicted son? Or does she stand up and side with the baby sultan and all the visors? In the end, she decides to go with the grand visors and her baby sultan grandson. Which, I mean, can you blame her? Like, at least the baby can be controlled, because he's a baby.
Yeah, and if there's anything she's proven up to this point, it's that she knows the political game and she knows how to get what she needs from all of those guys. So she can change that situation.
Yeah.
She can't change the situation about a crazy son wanting you killed.
Yeah.
That's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But all joking aside, though, her son Ibrahim eventually was executed on August 18th of 1648. Qasem did try to stand up and
prevent that from happening.
Yeah, just put him back in the cage where it helped made him this way. But some historians say that she might have actually helped push Ibrahim to that execution, but I'm not buying it.
Yeah,
because she's never proven that up until this point. She stood behind every single one of her sons,
ride or die.
Even
when Murad had her other sons killed, she didn't really do anything that would have, you know, hurt him she's not like an Irene of Athens. Like, I don't see her out here ever gouging out her son's eyes, you know? So I don't see her getting, like, trying to kill. I think I agree with you in that I don't really see that for her. But
no.
You can only push somebody so far, too. So either could be possible.
And that's exactly what happened to Kosem, is because they had pushed her too far at this point.
Yeah.
Like, after all this happened, she's like, I've had my babies. They all are gone.
They're all gone.
They all fought for the throne. They all killed each other. I just want to retire.
Because she did still have her daughters. And like, just send me to the concubine retirement home that we talked about in episode one.
I'm good. Like, she was done with the politics. She wants to hang it all up. She's 60 years old. And she's been working in politics since she was 18.
Or younger. She was like 15 when she married her husband, you know, like.
She's not just tired. She's retired.
She is ready to be retired. Oh, sweet Kosem, though. Do you really think that the guys who plotted to overthrow your son are actually gonna have a plan in place? Like, what's that episode of South Park where it's like the gnomes are like, step one, steal underwear. Step two, question mark. Step three, profit. That's kind of these guys here, though. Step one, overthrow Ibrahim. Step two, put baby in charge. Step three, question mark. Step four, peaceful realm. No, like they didn't.
No, that's not how this works. Uh-uh. So they need a regent. His mom at this point, Tehran, is only like 21 years old. And they needed someone with a little more experience because she wasn't quite up to speed.
Well, unlike, because when Kosem was the consort, she was always very involved with her husband's decisions. And
she was also very much into being educated and learning the customs and learning all of this and learning all that. This Tehran was not up to that level.
Also, Tehran, yes, it's great to have that desire, but if your sultan never allows you to be involved, she was never, I think it's one, she probably just didn't have the immediate political mind that Kosem did, but also she hadn't been brought into those conversations like Kosem got to be when she was the consort. So they were like, no, Tehran, we have no interest in you helping us out. Which probably put a pin in any resentment that might cause.
That might bring up. So they're like, we need a regent. We need a regent. The entire Ottoman Empire is looking around like, we need a powerful, strong woman to help rule this country.
I just want to take up painting. What was it that Empress Cixi did when she got to retire for a minute? She took up painting and breeding dogs. Like, she's like, I just want to hang out at the concubine retirement home and breed dogs.
And watch the Golden Girls, please. Kosem's like, fine, I'll do it. I'll play regent for a while. Okay. So she's making government decisions with a baby sultan in her lap, calling the shots, sitting behind ye old dusty curtain again. While all these men pretend to make the decisions
again.
This is fine. This is fine. I can only imagine her being like, oh my God.
Why am I still doing this shit? One person that didn't think any of this was fine. Once again, we're going to head over to the Grand Vizier. His name was Mehmed Pasha, and he's a bad bra. He's not supportive.
Yeah.
He's not supportive in any way, shape, or form. It is time to get resized. It is time to maybe donate that bra to Goodwill.
This guy, honestly, is the very bad bra. He sounds like this fucking guy material whenever I was reading about him. He is super misogynistic, power hungry, very opportunistic. The vibes for Kosem are not great.
Oh no.
He has this paranoia that she's calling all the shots. Women in power can't run a country. She doesn't know what she's doing. If they were in a room together, he would say some hateful things.
And she's like, who the fuck do you think you're talking to? Like, what the hell? We don't know exactly what kind of quote-unquote hateful things he was saying, but we do know that he had issues with female empowerment. He was not an ally. He would have hated Women's History Month. He would be one of those guys on Reddit being like, where's the Men's History Month? You know, like, men's rights.
It's taught in schools every day.
But he thought that the reason everything was shitty at the palace then and there wasn't because things are settling back down and, like, figuring out how this new regime. He was like, it's because a woman has been in charge. So I have to imagine the things that he said to her would really get under her skin.
Yeah, it would get under our skin today.
Yes, for yes. Sure. We just would not, we're not fans of Mehmed Pasha.
No, not at all. So I think it's time to spill the tea a little bit, because he's sitting here saying all these misogynistic things to her all the time. And she's been sitting here running this country this whole time.
Be grateful, motherfucker.
Be grateful for this. So they got into a heated fight. And the Ottomans...
Eating popcorn. I'm like, bring it on.
Here it comes. Because the Ottomans had just lost a really major battle. And all the grand viziers and the viziers and everybody's at court. And the grand bra was like, OMG, I'm so super sorry we lost this battle.
And the Sultan, Mehmed, says, go. You are not worthy of being Grand Vizier. Yeah, it's basically get your shit and get out of here. And remember, he's 7. He's not saying anything that doesn't come from a script that his grandmother has given him. He's just repeating what Grandma Kosum told him to say. And the Grand Vizier claps back and says, my dear, who taught you that at your age? You know, everybody knows Kosum gave him the script, but it's just very condescending. My dear, who taught you to speak like that?
She's like, my dear, excuse me?
Because it's very condescending.
Like, yeah, like, she legit calls him out and was like, you just said my dear in a very patronizing way.
Yeah.
Excuse me, not in my house. Who the fuck do you think you are? She literally starts calling him out for wasting money.
Good.
She tells him that it's quote unquote the voice of the world that taught the baby Sultan everything, aka this shit ain't my fault. You need to look in the mirror, bitch, because you're the one that taught him all this stuff and you're the one that's in charge calling the shots. So don't blame it on me.
Fuck yes. Absolutely. So Kosum orders dude executed. Mehmed Pasha, he's got to go. But while Kosum is starting to, like, find a guy to replace him with, a new rivalry enters the chat.
Ooh.
Let's circle back to daughter-in-law Tehran, the mother of the Sultan.
Yeah, up to this point, no one had been looking at Tehran to actually take any political power. But now she's like, I don't like that bra. I don't like that brazier. I don't like that vizier. I don't like that visor. Nope. I need another dude. I need to get somebody else in power. And she starts convincing and other people, like, she starts helping push this new guy into power over someone that Kosum already has in power.
So now we got a rivalry.
So it's starting to get a little bit tricky here.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't think these two women, I think they could have worked in tandem if there hadn't been so many outside sources pushing them against each other. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Was there tension? Almost definitely. But remember, this is the Ottoman Empire, and family members weren't expected to work together. They were opposing forces.
No.
That's why all the sultans kill their brothers. Then the sultan's mom is the only woman in charge of the harem. You know, like, they're not conditioned to be thinking, how can we work together? And the outside forces were pushing their heads together, butting heads even more. So yeah, I'm not surprised. But also, I'm not surprised that Tehran wanted to wield some power. She's the mother of the Sultan, and that's what the mother of the Sultan is supposed to do. She's supposed to be Valid Sultan, not the grandmother of the Sultan.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised that she wanted her day, you know?
It's like, okay, I'm a little bit older now. I know what's going on now. You can step aside. I've got this. But because of patriarchy and history, the men at court started to pit them against each other. So they started to start gossip, and they really took advantage of it because they know how to do that. They've seen it in the past.
Yeah.
It's happened before. Mm-hmm. So they know what to do to really start pitting the two against each other so that they can overthrow Kosem.
Yep, out with the old. So one day, a trusted advisor comes up to Kosem and says, Molly, you in danger, girl, because... Your daughter-in-law is jealous of the power you're wielding. She thinks that she needs to be in your spot, and she's going to kill you in your sleep. So, good night. Bye.
Yeah. Sleep well. Kosem's like, wait, whoa.
Can we go over? Can we rewind? Can we circle back?
Yeah. Wait. So they explain it to her again, and then she's like, okay, what do we do about this?
Yeah, this is the and problem, like, for me.
Yeah, she's like, what do we do about this? And they literally tell her, like, well, the only thing that you can do is if you depose the Sultan, you can put your other grandson in his place. So if the Sultan is no longer in power, then his mom, Tehran, she can't call the shot, right?
Oh, that is so messy, because does the other grandson not have a mother as well?
Ugh.
At the same time that they were telling Kosem about this plot her daughter-in-law wanted to put in place, they were also telling the daughter-in-law, like whispering in her ear, being like, Your mother-in-law is going to kill you. So they are really making them both paranoid. She wants to depose your son, and they're going to put another grandson in power. Watch out.
Yep. So the lines are drawn. Everyone is against each other. They're like, from here on out, it's pretty easy to start rumors or throw around accusations. So there are rumors that Kosem tried to have the Sultan poisoned and killed at this point.
I wonder if she had the same intense love for her grandchildren that she did for her children. I wonder if she would ever have thought to poison a grandkid, or if she was like, I didn't squeeze that one out of my vagina. I'm not that worried about it.
Yeah, I don't think that's true. I really don't think it's true at all. Like, I think that is just one of those things that got thrown around at court. There was so much paranoia there that it stuck. So they ended up arresting Kosem, and at that point, she was ordered to be executed.
Scary. She's like, me? No, me?
I didn't do anything.
Yeah. And so while this baby Sultan, he signs his grandmother's death warrant. Like,
why?
Babies don't need jobs, and babies don't need jobs that, like, have anything to do with signing your grandmother's death warrant.
Yeah, after she had been taking care of you for all of these years.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
So Kosem obviously screwed.
she
knows.
Having a panic attack. Like, ooh, yeah.
Yeah, she knows her time is up. It's only a matter of time before Janice and from Friends and her get killed.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the Janissaries, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's still really strongly aligned with that military class. So
maybe
she's been using them to protect her her whole life. So surely they can protect her now.
Maybe she can talk them into it. They were able to fight back forces that were sent to take Kosem. Like, the Janissaries helped her a little bit, but it just didn't last long. The people that were sent by the Sultan to kill her, they outnumbered her guard, and everything's lost. She knows she's surrounded, and she yells out, "Have they come?" And yeah, they have. And
so she starts shoving all of her jewels in her gown. And then she literally, like, jumps in a cabinet, closes the door. And then at that point, the men eventually break in. And there's this old woman that's standing there that was one of her friends that was, like, pretending to be Kosem.
What a loyal friend.
I know. And it's, like, trying to buy some time.
Just be like, I'm Kosem. Like, I'm Kosem. And they're like, why are you telling us that so loudly? Are you?
Are you really? Oh. No, they knew it wasn't her. One of the lead guys came in and was like, I've seen her before and this is not her.
Right.
So they start like tearing apart the room, looking all over the place. And eventually they find a little piece of her skirt sticking out from the cabinet door.
Oh, I can just feel her anxiety across the centuries right now.
Oh my gosh, me too.
In that cabinet. Because you have to know they're going to eventually open the cabinet. You gotta know.
It took them a while, though. So it was like one of those moments where she probably is thinking, like, am I gonna get away with
this? It reminds me of after they killed Caligula. I don't know why this keeps bringing me back to ancient Rome. But after they killed Caligula, do you remember that his uncle Claudius was hiding behind a curtain in his house? Because he thought, they're either gonna come and kill me or make me Caesar, and I don't want either of those. And that they searched everywhere, and then they saw his sandals under the curtain.
This has a lot of similarities. It like, really this story does. Has a lot.
Oh, so they drag her out. And we talk about some people, when the writing is on the wall, going out with accepting their fate and going out with dignity. Unfortunately, that is not the way that Kozum played this. She is just, they have orders to strangle her. And she is just like, I know, she knew a loophole to the government system. I have money, and throws money at them. But it like, I have jewels. If you let me go, I'll get back in power and I'll give you favors. That it's just, it doesn't work. Nothing works.
No, they drag her outside. They put a cord around her neck. She ends up biting the executioner's thumb. So she's fighting back.
She is like, this is not how I'm going out.
Yeah. And then he starts fighting her and then hits her on the back of the head. And she gets knocked out. And the executioner's like, wait around. She's out for a while. And they're like, okay, she's dead.
But they didn't check a pulse.
They didn't check her pulse because she ain't dead yet, honey.
Oh, my God. So they're, like, walking away, and she jumps up and tries to escape. She should have just let them walk away further, but she's probably not in her most strategic state of mind. And she starts running towards safety, but, I mean, they notice. They eventually find her, and, yeah, she's strangled the second time. Some say with a rope. The rumor went around that, you know, she had her hair in a long braid. And so that was wrapped around her neck, and she was strangled with her braid, which is probably not true. But you know how it's like a game of telephone. The story just grows and grows. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine that whole story going down? Oh, my gosh.
I love that she bit him, though. I love that she bit him.
Yeah, me too. So after Kosum's death, the fractions that were against her suffered some serious backlash. Mm-hmm. So all those people, like, the whole country at this point was like, she ran this country for 4 decades.
She was popular.
She was popular.
She did a lot of charity work and stuff that we didn't really get to go into. She was popular with the everyday people.
Yeah, she spent a lot of money on charity work, giving back and doing a lot of that stuff. The whole country went into mourning. People were pissed. At the funeral, there were people that worked for her that were of a particular class. They started, like, screaming, crying, and they were, like, ripping out their hair. Mm-hmm.
No,
which was, like, one of those customs that they had.
Yeah, we've talked about this in some other episode before. But, yeah, they were like, okay, make the biggest scene to, like, show grief. Yeah, ripping out their hair. That's intense. But that was the custom, yeah. But her popularity had been so intense that now rumors are starting to spread. Like, what the fuck happened? And people want answers. Who killed Kosum? Who spread this information? Who ratted her out? What happened?
The whole country wants answers. So rumors spread that it was Kosum's own people that turned out and turned against her, and that turned her in, that they believe that the Janissaries had pulled a Judas and they had came for them. Like,
yeah,
it was like they went against them then and started killing her trusted advisors.
They
after
angry
that.
Mobbed a bunch of her folks to death, just like out of, it was kind of a like angry mob now, ask questions later situation. And so unfortunately, some people that were like, yeah, friends of hers got angry mobbed to death after her death, just because they didn't know what else to do. They had to put their anger somewhere, and they just didn't know.
Wrong people.
Wrong people. But the people responsible didn't get off scot-free exactly either. The Grand Vizier is dismissed. The regiment is in shambles. And they scramble to distance themselves from what happened. And shit got messy. And it took a while for them to kind of get back on their feet and gain stability again.
Yeah, even at all this time later, Kosem is remembered as one of the most powerful women in history of the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah.
So she was buried near her husband, who loved her so much. And unlike so many other women that we've discussed on this show who are remembered poorly because of their ruthless power they wielded, she was actually adored for a really long time. People mourned this loss. Historians nowadays still say they're like, this was a travesty. Like, this was tragic. This should never have happened. This was a blatant use of misogyny.
And she really just wanted to retire anyway at this point.
Yeah, Kosem's memory will be remembered and adored for a very, very, very long time.
Yeah, and I love that, hey, a woman who wielded power that we remember in a positive light. So let's raise a couple of glasses to Kosem Sultan, the most powerful woman from the Ottoman Empire.
Cheers, bitches.
Cheers, bitches.
Hi, I'm Will Clark from Grey History, The French Revolution. Katie and Nathan asked me to let you know that there are curse words on this show. So if that's not your thing, please stop now. But since you like the history of monarchs, why not check out Grey History, The French Revolution? History isn't black and white, and so we're exploring all the ambiguities and nuances of one of the most important eras of human history. Come hear a story of revolution, of scandal, of betrayal, of the bloody demise of kings, queens, and revolutionaries. From the Reign of Terror to the foundations of the modern world, there's plenty to sink your teeth into. Search for Grey History, The French Revolution today. That's G-R-E-Y. Or just search for the French Revolution. And now, back to Katie and Nathan. Enjoy.
Have you ever wished that you had a direct line to your pediatrician to ask all the questions that constantly crop up while parenting? We sure have. That's why we launched the Bites of Health podcast. Every morning, we'll answer a commonly asked pediatric question in 5 minutes or less. You can tune in while you're making your second cup of coffee or from the school drop-off line. So be sure to tune in to Bites of Health, streaming now.